Hello, and welcome to a new podcast series from IBM Software that explores the challenges IT managers and business professionals are facing today. I'm Eric Green, and I'll be talking with a range of experts to discover new perspectives, approaches, and examples that can help meet these challenges and introduce you to the capabilities of smarter software from IBM. So let's get started.
Welcome back to the show. Today we're going to be talking about application security with Eva Hoyt, who's Global Go-to-Market Marketing Manager for Rational Security and Compliance with IBM, and Patrick Vandenberg, Manager, Rational Security and Compliance Marketing, also with IBM. Eva, Patrick, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, too.
Thanks very much, Eric. Pleased to be here.
So, Eva, if we could please start with you, could you please talk about this growing awareness and risk around application security and give our audience an idea of how significant this is?
Sure. Thank you. And the number of vulnerabilities affecting the web applications these days is one of today's fastest growing security problems. So public data breaches are frequent, so it's really critical to secure web applications that collect sensitive data from employees, clients, or even partners. However, as organizations move even more towards business services online and adopt Web 2.0 technologies, probably securing these applications sometimes gets postponed or ignored, increasing security risks. This is why proactive application security should be a top priority on everybody's agenda, because failing to properly protect and secure applications can expose your organization to really malicious attacks. And application security absolutely needs to be a key element in the application development process and be integrated early in the development lifecycle.
Thanks, Eva. Patrick, what do you have to add there?
Well, as Eva points out, this area of security, specifically application security, is really prevalent today. You know, the IBM X-Force security research team, their latest 2010 report points out that half of all cybersecurity vulnerabilities come from web applications. And you know, if we want to look at another source of information, the Verizon Data Breach Investigations report found that I believe 143 million records were compromised that year, and somewhere in the range of 90% of those records were compromised through a web application attack pathway. Now, those two stats are calling out web applications, but that's only one aspect of application security as a whole, but it does certainly point out the prevalence of these vulnerabilities and the amount of risks that it brings to organizations. And if we step back from that just a little bit, I think it's pretty easy to understand that today, you know, innovation is such a key agenda for organizations. It's necessary to be able to excel, provide the needed capabilities or opportunities that organizations are looking for. It's the type of enabler that is required in our society, whether it's our communications that we're looking for. So really, software is a common thread in a lot of our daily lives, and not just in the IT security. And really, how can we expect to be confident in these technologies and elements of our society if it's not secure? And in part because of the increasing adoption of different types of software. I mean, if we look at our vehicles today, they are complex pieces of software, as much or more so than mechanical devices today. And you know, that's another example of something where we really need to be prudent and proactive around software security. So there is, from all angles and all industries, growing need to be aware of the risk around software and application security, and this is something that we are seeing increasing awareness on the part of organizations, but unfortunately there is a bit of a gap between the amount of investment and focus on enabling a capability, speaking to the functionality, than actually addressing the security alongside with that. And it's that gap in focus and investment that is bringing more and more risk to organizations today.
Excellent. Well, thanks for that. The message of build it in keeps on kind of coming to mind as you guys are talking through this. But to that, what's really been changing over the past, let's say, 12 to 18 months that's really made this a challenge for organizations?
So I think, that's a great question that I can continue my discussion on. the types of vulnerabilities, for the most part, are still there. We aren't seeing, for example, OWASP has a list of top vulnerabilities, and we are seeing those same vulnerabilities present in the issues, security issues that we're seeing in the software today. But I guess what you could say what is changing is that the recognition of the prevalence, for example, mobile applications, right? The mobile device market has certainly exploded in the past couple of years, and that's getting an additional focus around applications and application security. We've obviously continued to see the continued deployment of web applications for even things if we want to look at enterprise modernization. So the process where an organization would be transitioning their legacy systems from mainframes and green screen functionality and leveraging web applications and web services to deliver that functionality in a more efficient and cost-effective manner, reaching potentially broader audiences with that as well. We're talking about shifting from one paradigm to another, and as that action happens, well, there's a whole set of considerations around the security of that information. So, you know, that's one example where in an IT perspective, we are exposing more and more critical information that the organization needs to secure to external audiences, and certainly that's very problematic. And if we want to expand that discussion a little further, we can start looking at product capabilities in certain industries, like the auto industry as an example, right? So if we want to consider things today where, you know, we can insert a jump drive into a car to upload our music to our moving software application, if you will, right? There's millions of lines of code in new cars today. So the very consideration of ensuring that jump drive has no viruses that's going to be able to compromise the safety of the car. Or the remote connectivity, the wireless connectivity of these cars, if you will, from GPS, you know, or the proximity sensors that we have on these cars, ensuring that other devices cannot hijack and communicate those vehicles so that we can all be safe. So we're starting to see the growing presence of software in our daily lives. And these activities, which are really all functionality demands by us, the users, are demanding that the development community, whether it's in IT applications or products, you know, working on cars and the like, they continue to be pressed to provide this additional functionality. And if the security requirements and validation for delivering quality application software are not walking step for step with the functionality, this gap gets created. Essentially, and unfortunately, security really, in effect, becomes deprioritized relative to the functionality. And this is where organizations run into problems, where if there are vulnerabilities introduced into the applications of the products that they're providing, they're introducing risk for their constituents as a result of that. So really, from, you know, in the past 12 to 18 months, we're seeing a continued acceleration on the demands and the use of, as an example, web applications, where, as I mentioned previously, the IBM X-Force 2010 trend report, you know, we continue to see half of all cybersecurity vulnerabilities are from web applications alone, right? And so the other half is from all the rest of the different types, you know, network, endpoint security, identity, data, all the different types of cybersecurity vulnerabilities that can exist are shared. So that is a tremendous, tremendous share of vulnerabilities in an area that still does not have enough attention to it. And I mean attention from a mindset perspective, from a budget perspective. Later last year, we were just starting to see the first signs of application security being an IT budgeted line item to invest and protect the organization, right? Whereas we know that IT security in general has been investing in network perimeter defense for quite some time now. And we're not here to say that is a misuse of that spend, not by any stretch. There are a number of different ways where a rogue personality can try to attack an organization's assets. What we are saying, though, is that the biggest area of risk for the organizations is actually receiving the least amount of investment. And that problem is only going to create a bigger problem in the way of risk to the overall business, financially speaking, to the organizations that are not going to be, you know, adopting the right practices to try to close off those risks.
So you touched on some thoughts around the issues and functionality and added functionality when it comes to automotive and other places. I was hoping you could give us an example of how an organization is actually addressing this issue today.
So how an organization is going about it really depends on their level of maturity or awareness in application security. And historically, what we have seen is a progression. And we've referred to it as a customer maturity model. And it's not to disparage any customers that are earlier in the chain. It's more to point out that there is a progression of the amount of activity or the type of activity for this to happen. And it's unrealistic to expect an organization that is such as a development shop that is quite regimented and has some pretty stringent demands on it to overhaul itself. That's not a fair ask at all. So what is fair to ask is that there is a progression. There's a progression that will allow an organization to maintain and deliver its against its existing mandate, but also evolve to deliver, you know, secure quality software. So with that, what we see is if an organization in an early state of awareness might be looking at a reactive approach to, for example, if we focus in on web applications, and they've identified some high-risk applications. Perhaps we're talking about a financial services organization with online banking. That's a pretty widespread example that we can all relate to. They would want to have typically an outsourced penetration testing firm who is going to do a security audit of those applications to tell them where the risks are in that software and point out some steps to correct the code to remove those vulnerabilities from being exploited. And typically that's the right course because these organizations don't have the level of expertise and tooling in-house to be able to deliver on that kind of a capability. But as organizations realize this and they realize the widespread prevalence of vulnerabilities across their applications, they would undoubtedly look to dedicate a resource internally to be responsible for this and start investing in some tooling. What we typically see happen is, you know, there's one or two application security specialists that are designated. In large organizations, that number can grow, but typically you're looking at one or two. And for the organizations that start pushing through hundreds of applications that need to be validated by these one or two security auditors, there can be a bandwidth problem for sure. And while it's a significant positive step forward to actually bring that practice in-house to have somebody validating it, the reality is that these vulnerabilities actually got introduced earlier in the process, typically by the development organization and actually frequently inadvertently, because a lot of times a vulnerability can manifest itself after all of the data is collected from the extended development team and put into a system. That's where we see edge case vulnerabilities appear. So, you know, this isn't necessarily a case where we're pointing at what a developer is or isn't doing. It's just the complex nature of the software that's being built today. So with the development team inadvertently or not being able to address these vulnerabilities, and we have these volumes of applications coming down this development process to a frequently a single person who's got to test this, well, we can see this bottleneck occur that can start to delay the deployment of the software projects, and that just isn't good for anybody. There's a lost opportunity for the organization. So however long that software is now not in market, there's an opportunity cost to that. Additionally, there's the added cost of having somebody, the security auditor, to say, hey, this software is presenting too much risk for the organization, and according to my mandate, I cannot allow it to proceed. Mr. or Mrs. Developer, here are the issues that I've identified here. Can you please address these? Well, that piece of software now has to touch a lot of different hands, and there's an inherent cost in doing that. So how can we get past this? This is where the more proactive or strategic organizations can realize some tremendous cost efficiencies. They implement a practice, and this can be done in a staged approach to minimize the disruption and allow the development organization still to maintain a commitment to their existing mandates. But over time, what we can do is push the security testing process earlier in the development cycle. So let's say, for example, we can implement this at the build stage, right, where as that software is being checked in and compiled, we're also doing an automated security scan of that software that is going to catch vulnerabilities and have those logged into the bug tracking system. Then our developers can actually see this, remediate, and have more secure code. And this alleviates the pipeline of vulnerabilities that will get to our security auditor downstream and allows that security auditor's expertise to come out. So instead of all of this time taken to find the same vulnerabilities over and over again, we can use this person's expertise to truly test the integrity of the system. So here's an example of where we can engage more resources in the system, be more cost effective at doing it, and in the end provide quality software that meets the integrity standards we're looking for, that protects our constituents, be it from a product, software product, or from an application.
And I wanted just to add, and maybe just a kind of a summary, Patrick, what you just said in all detail is definitely the organization can reduce costs and mitigate really the risk of internal external threats by driving either security early in the application lifecycle, you know, to design and development, and then deliver the security application from incepted when it's cheaper to fix, but then also a lot of the organization within different industries rely on secure data, if it's, you know, customer data, patient data, different kind of data, and they are scanning all the websites, and those scans, you know, they analyze, and this helps them to ensure compliance and accessibility, and also they comply to industry regulations. And I think from looking at the whole life cycle from the start to the end, when organizations look at this as a whole, they absolutely need to understand that it's not just a one-stop fix. They have to apply it in the whole life cycle so they can really see the benefits from a solution like that.
Excellent, excellent. So I guess turning back to you, Patrick, can you talk a little bit about where IBM is innovating with regards to app security?
Sure, absolutely. IBM has made some tremendous investments over the past few years in bringing in some quality technology from the WatchFire and Ounce acquisitions. And really, it's been much more than technology. The knowledge from the people in those two organizations has come together to form the Rational Application Security Business Unit. And what we've done here with these capabilities is been able to build out a portfolio under the banner of Rational AppScan to provide several flavors of application security testing and remediation to support the different stakeholders, as I mentioned earlier, the different stakeholders in the software development process. So when an organization is ready to engage the QA organization or build or development or even requirements, there are solutions in place that are designed to support that specific use case and environment, as opposed to just push a technology or a tool there. So, you know, we can, for example, integration into Rational Application Developer development environment or an Eclipse environment or .NET environment, tying to the build process or integrating with Rational Quality Manager, and supporting these capabilities within the existing user's environment is very, very important. Application security is, you know, it's a specialty area, and we can't expect our development organizations to get up to speed here, but what we can do is enable a set of capabilities that tie to their existing environments that can be supported by a security admin working in the background that can provide the governance across and collaboration across it, so that, you know, we can have confidence in the organization identifying these vulnerabilities and over time improving the security posture of the applications or software that's being developed. And across all of that, what we've been able to do, if I dive into some of the buzzwords and technology in this space, is we have the capabilities of dynamic security analysis or dynamic testing, as well as static analysis, those being looking at deployed applications that are functioning and or looking at the source code. In concert, we have several hybrid technologies that are merging, being able to merge dynamic and static analysis. And this way, we're able to provide greater efficiency, coverage, and accuracy of the testing beyond what else can be found in the market. So whether it's supporting the use cases that are going to allow organizations to successfully adopt this, or innovating on the technologies that are going to allow for improved efficiencies and accuracy in it. I feel very fortunate to be in a business unit where IBM is investing to help our customers be quite successful.
Thank you very much for that, and thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Happy to do this.
Thanks for listening. Please do visit ibm.com/software to connect with our experts, continue the conversation, and to learn more about smarter software from IBM. Let's build a smarter planet.